The first lesson is from 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 84 responsively. It's in your bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield.
The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
The second lesson is from Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the Alleluia. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought up Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. You can sit right here. Sit. And then that way you can be by Nora too, okay? Yeah, she would like that. Okay. I don't know if you noticed, but you see what I brought with me tonight? It's a candle. Do you recognize where this candle comes from and when we use it in church? Every year, we light these individual candles, we turn the lights off in here, and we sing, Silent Night, Holy Night. You remember when that is? When do we sing Silent Night? Christmas. Christmas. See, sometimes we forget that Christmas is an everyday gift of God and not just something that we do on December 25th, right? So this is a candle, and I've got other candles. These are baptismal candles. And this is kind of perfect that we got four of you here because tonight is called Candlemas. In the early church, what they would do is on February 2nd, which is the 40th day of Christmas, they would bless the candles that they were going to be using in homes and in church in the year ahead. So we're thinking there's going to be some baptisms this year. So we've got four candles, and we've got four of you, and we're going to bless these candles tonight in our prayer. Okay? Today is also called the presentation of Jesus. And I thought if we're going to talk about Candlemas and the presentation of Jesus, maybe we need to know what that big word means. Do you know what a presentation is? It's a big word, isn't it? Yeah, if you were going to give this to me, you would be presenting it, right? Yeah, that's a good example, Luke, yeah. So if you're going to present something to somebody, you're giving them something, or I present to you for the first time, right? In other words, I'm introducing somebody, I'm naming them, I'm announcing something, right? Yeah? Sometimes they get an award when you present something. Did you know that when Jesus was presented, he was only 40 days old, and his mom and his dad brought him to the temple? You know what the temple is? The temple is God's house. You know what we're in right now? We're in the church, right? The church, the temple, God's house. Why do people come into God's house? To pray, to worship, right? And when children are little, moms and dad bring them to church, just like Mary and Joseph did. They present them for, yes. And when a child gets baptized, Then we present them with a baptismal candle, and we say, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know what that means? That means God wants us to live in such a way that everyone knows that Jesus is my best friend. Huh? So the presentation of Jesus is when God gives us a present, a gift, so that we can then share that gift with others. Our parents present us like Hannah did with Samuel, and they give the gift back to God. Did you know that each of you are a gift from God? You are. Each of you are a gift from God, given to your moms, your dads, and then in baptism, they give you back to God, and they make a promise. You know what they promise to do? To bring you to church, to teach you how to pray, to teach you all about Jesus, so that you live your whole life for Jesus. Each of you take a candle to hold for me. You hold one, Luke, Emma. Okay, and we're going to pray now, okay? We're going to pray for the babies and the kids and the adults that will be baptized and who will get these candles. We're going to pray that God blesses us and them and the candles. You ready? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, bless these candles. Bless those who are baptized, that we may share your love and the blessing of your grace with others. Amen. All right, now they're blessed. You put your hands on them, and we know that in the same way God blessed us, we can help to bless others. Thanks for coming up, okay? As I begin my sermon tonight, I'm going to begin with a shout-out. Anybody know what a shout-out is? Right? I'm doing a shout-out because you may not know, but we record our services every week. And they go on the website, and there are people that sometimes listen to one or two, sometimes when they're car traveling. We actually have a beloved child who is studying over in Ireland. She happens to be the granddaughter of Larry and Deb Vomhoff, and she sent a message back and said, "I listened to the sermon last week while she's studying over in Ireland." And she said, "I'm going to do it each week." So, Caitlin, I know you're listening to this sermon, so this is a shout-out for you. We love you, and we thank God that you are, in fact, listening to His Word and that you are living His Word in daily life. God bless you. You know the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." Well, imagine someone like Caitlin saying, "You know, I'm going to be over in Ireland for like 4 months, and I'm going to be studying, I'm going to be busy, and there's lots of tourist stuff to see, so I'm going to have to take a vacation away from church, a vacation away from Jesus, and of course, God's going to understand, right?" Wrong. You see, what an amazing child of God, young in age, a marvelous young woman who knows that we need to live our baptism, walk our baptism every single day. When Jesus was presented on the 40th day of Christmas, He was a gift given to Joseph and Mary and to the whole world. And now the gift of the Son is being given back to the Father. Jesus is presented to us in baptism, and we receive salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life, so that we can in turn present Jesus to others. Saved so that we share salvation with others, redeemed so that we share the Redeemer and the gift of redemption with others. The presentation of our Lord. That's the 40th day of Christmas. I know some of you may think, "Yeah, but Christmas is long over." But it was only a couple of weeks ago that I went out and I anointed with holy oil a couple of women. One was going to have surgery. One was going to have chemo begin for cancer. And so we prayed, we anointed. And when I went into one of the homes, I said, "Oh, The Christmas tree is still up, decorated and everything. I mean, our tree is still up, but now we've taken the decorations off, and tomorrow I will put the tree away because that's what they do on the 40th day of Christmas. And this dear woman of our congregation, she said, well, I like to keep Christmas as long as possible. I said, well, you know, over in St. Peter's Square in Rome, they have the creche, they have the nativity. And they don't take it down until the 40th day of Christmas, February 2nd. The one who is presented is, in fact, God's gift of presentation to the world. A perfect presentation. What a presentation. And that's why someone like Simeon can sing his song. We call it the Nunc Dimittis. I'm ready to go home, Lord. Once we've got Jesus, every day, every breath we take is a holy gift from God, and we're ready because we know that our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the blood of God's Son, Jesus. I read recently about a congregation in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Last fall, they collected offerings of $15,000 to give to a ministry that I didn't know about, which is called RIP Medical Debt. RIP Medical Debt. They're the first congregation in Minnesota to participate in this ministry. And what happens is RIP Medical Debt, it's about organized, run by two debt collectors who realize that it can be brutal. I mean, when somebody already has medical issues and they can't pay their bills, and now somebody's calling them and hounding them and saying, you will pay up, or we'll be knocking on your door in the middle of the night, and we're going to make life miserable, and we're going to harass you with all kinds of mail, etc. Well, they know what this can be like. So here's what happens with RIP medical debt. Pennies on a dollar, they buy these uncollected debts from hospitals throughout the United States. And then they find churches and wealthy people who want to make contributions so that they can pay off the debt. And so this congregation up in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in Maple Grove, they gave $15,000. And then they got a thank you. They had no idea how the Lord would take a gift and grow it. 472 households in Arkansas and Texas got a letter in the mail that said, due to a gracious gift from a congregation in Minnesota, your debt, your medical debt, is completely wiped clean. This is not a hoax. Don't throw this away. This is for real. 472 families. Maybe heart attacks, health crises, maybe accidents, strokes. Debt completely removed. $15,000 gift produced $1.6 million in medical debt relief. That's amazing. You see, God's people who are presented in baptism are called by God to present Jesus, to show him and to share him and his love in daily life, everywhere we go. And so we do it in the name of our Lord. The 40th day of Christmas, Candlemas, many people would say, oh, February 2nd, I know what that is, Super Bowl. I'm a Chief fan, or I am a San Francisco 49ers fan, or someone else says, I don't like football at all, and plus my team's not in there even if I did. And so at the end of the day, win or lose, Jesus is still on the throne. So some people put too much into Super Bowl Sunday. Really. And you probably also know that on Super Bowl Sunday, it's one of the biggest days in the United States for domestic violence, for domestic assaults against women. Super Bowl. Because people are betting money, because people take it too seriously, etc., right? February 2nd. Oh, Pastor Dave, I know what that day is. Punxsutawney Phil, my good buddy Phil out in Pennsylvania. I mean, if he comes and he sees his shadow, you know, 6 more weeks of winter. But if he doesn't, well, then winter's on its way out. You know where February 2nd and the Groundhog's Day comes from? I'm not kidding you. I'm not pulling your leg. This is for real. The idea comes from Candlemas. For centuries, the church has been celebrating Candlemas. And when they would bless the candles for the church and for the people in the church to take home, they would have a tradition on Candlemas. If it was a bright, beautiful, sunny day, guess what happens? You see shadows. And that means there's going to be 6 more weeks of winter. But if it's a rainy, gloomy, cloudy day, no shadows, then guess what? Winter's on its way out. I mean, it's amazing. Most of the things that we start to celebrate, if we dig deep enough, we find out that they go back to Jesus. Candlemas, Jesus, the light of the world, who shines in us. We are his candles. That's why we give a candle to a child when they're baptized. I mean, think about the presentations that happen in a service of baptism. At the very beginning, the pastor announces what the gift of baptism is and then says, who presents this child to receive the sacrament of holy baptism? And you know how it goes. Then usually it's the godparents because they've been entrusted with a wonderful honor and a huge responsibility of raising that child in the faith their whole life long. They will then say, I or we present, and then it's the full baptismal name, David, Lloyd, Stephenson, whatever the name may be, to receive the sacrament of holy baptism. And then the promises are made. All those promises that we make. You see, what Hannah did with Samuel, what Joseph and Mary did with Jesus, what we do as parents when we bring a child to the font is not a cute little inoculation. It is not hocus pocus or a rabbit's foot. We are consecrating, dedicating, we are giving back the gift to the greatest giver of all. And we are acknowledging that the one who has presented his only begotten son to us is now putting the light of Christ inside of us so that we can bring that light everywhere we go. Presented to us salvation, presented to us the Redeemer and redemption so that we can present, share, and show to others salvation, redemption, the gift of Jesus. On the 40th day, Joseph and Mary went to church. They went up to the temple, to the house of God, because it was the law. On the 40th day, the firstborn male that came out of the womb, according to the Passover tradition, remember, the blood of the lamb saved all of the firstborn males whose homes were marked with the blood of the lamb from Passover, the 10th plague. And so they go because Mary has to offer a sacrifice for her purification and because they need to present Jesus. Whenever we have a gift, we need to give the gift back. Because the gift is only entrusted into our hands so that it can serve the holy purposes of God. So they do that. And who's there waiting? I mean, you've got to watch. Sometimes you see these articles in the paper, you know, about how if you're over 60, we don't want you to come to our church. I mean, there's some people doing that up in the Twin Cities, folks. I know it's crazy. They probably haven't read Luke 2 about Simeon and Anna. I mean, they're old. Anna's at least 84. And we don't know how old Simeon is, but we can bet our boots that when he sees the Savior Jesus and he picks that baby up, you know, I'll admit, as I get older, I fail a little bit. I'm not as strong. I'm not as agile as I used to be. Maybe that's true for you. That's part of growing old, right? But Here is Simeon, maybe a little bit hard of seeing, I don't know. But here is Simeon, and what is he doing? Waiting, 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 because the Holy Spirit has made a promise. You're not going to die, Simeon, until you get to see the Savior. Now, I don't think he probably thought that he would be able to literally see salvation as he was holding a 40-day baby boy in his hands. But that's what he got. Redemption and salvation. He got Jesus, and he'd been waiting for him. And you heard him start to sing, right? A Christmas carol. I mean, you can sing Christmas carols beyond the 12 days of Christmas. You can sing it through all 40. In fact, we could sing a Christmas carol during Lent or Easter or during the summer. And not just because our name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He sings what we call the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, you're now releasing this indebted one. You're setting me free because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Pretty amazing, huh? To be able to sing a Christmas carol as you're holding salvation right there in your hands because the Christ child has been presented. Imagine what you'll do tonight when you come up and the Christ child is presented to you, the body and blood of Jesus, so that he can in fact live in you and can manifest himself as Savior to the world. As you and I, candles of Christ, let our light shine before others for the glory of our Father. Godparents present a child, and then we present a candle. And at the end of a baptism, I have the joy of being able to carry, if the child's not too big, the child out and introduce them to their new church family. It's my honor to present to you. It's like when there's a wedding, and the bride and the groom have exchanged their vows and made their promises, and there's a pronouncement of marriage. And then there's the blessing. You see all of this in our text for today. There's the blessing, and then at the end of the wedding ceremony, the pastor says, it's my honor, my joy, my privilege to present to you for the first time as husband and wife, David and Julie Stephenson, huh? I mean, whatever the names may be, but you do that for the first time. You present. God presents himself to us so that we get to participate in the perfect presentation that we're not even being graded on, and it's not a class assignment. Simeon then speaks two words that we dare not miss. Simeon says, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many, a sign that will be opposed. Not all people will receive Jesus. They won't. And even though we can wish and want and hope, oh, Unitarian Universalism. You know, we want all people to be saved. Well, of course we do. God does. But Simeon announced the truth. This is a sign that will be opposed. This babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Those are words that a mother never wants to hear. I've been with mothers when either I or a police officer has had to make that painful announcement. Mary will be at the foot of the cross as her only begotten son, as her baby Jesus, 33 years old, is crucified on a cross and sheds his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And Simeon isn't the only one there in the temple that day. There's a woman. She got married when she was a virgin. She was young. She was married 7 years. She lost her husband. And now either she's 84 or for 84 more years, she has been a widow. And every single day, what do we learn from these old guys, from Simeon and Anna, huh? They've got a lot to teach us if we watch and look and listen. They're in church all the time. They're waiting all the time. They're praying all the time. They're expectant. They're hopeful. And Anna then, she gets to see the good news. And she becomes a preacher, proclaiming the good news to everybody. The Redeemer is here. Your redemption is here. It's not too late. It's right now. He's here. And if you don't see him, I'm here to share the good news with you. He's been presented to me by the grace of God, and by the grace of God, I get to present him to you. Anna and Simeon. The 40th day of Christmas. Candlemas. Over in Sri Lanka, there's a small congregation. If you know anything about Sri Lanka, it's one of the poorest nations on the face of the earth. But there's a Christian congregation in Sri Lanka, and they have been praying and asking God to show them, to reveal to them what it is that God wants them to do, how they can share Jesus, how they can show Jesus, how they can present Christmas, the Christ child, to those around. And God has shown them three things. It's absolutely amazing. This is a poor country. This is a poor, small congregation. Three ministries. And here's what they're doing. Number one, they noticed that there are a lot of poor people that did not have transportation to get to the hospital, to get to see the doctor. And then they did a survey and they said, you know, we got one, two, three, four. We got five automobiles. So they started a ministry where when someone needs to go to the doctor or needs to go to the hospital, they provide the transportation in the love of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And then they had a second ministry that they're doing. They noticed that a lot of these poor young women that were getting married, they wanted to get dressed in a white wedding gown. They couldn't afford it, but they had some seamstresses, and they purchased some wedding gowns, so they got a whole bunch of white wedding gowns for the brides, different sizes, and they can come in and they can borrow it to have a white wedding dress for their wedding. And then you want to know what the third ministry is, right? This is a poor country, so they have a tin roof kind of shack behind the church, and there are people in the congregation that make wooden coffins, because the poor can't afford to buy a coffin to bury a loved one. And so they make them and provide them. That's what we who are presented to receive the sacrament of holy baptism do in daily life. We who are blessed as candles of Christ, the light of the world shines through us, so that we who have salvation get to share the Savior and salvation with others, and we who have redemption get to share the Redeemer and Jesus Christ with others. So on February 2nd, tomorrow, it already began tonight at 6 p.m., you know. On February 2nd, you can become enamored with the Super Bowl, or you can check the report and say, did Phil see his shadow? Or you can remember Candlemas, and that for God's people it's always Christmas. And you can remember Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because thou art with me. The good shepherd, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I invite you to rise as you are able.